military is running to it because they're going to fight this. They're not fleeing from it. And I think in the body of Christ, there is a dimension of believers that are not looking to flee and hide and just get raptured out, but really want to be used powerfully to help other people get free also. So I had you turn to Joshua 1 because I want to give you just a challenge this morning, and especially all of you that are viewing from wherever you're viewing from, that it is very important that we understand that all Scripture was inspired at one time or another and is pertinent to what is laid before us to be anointed by the Holy Ghost. Old covenant, transitional Scriptures, new covenant. We learn from the whole Word of God. Say the whole Word. If we want to truly be a warrior, then we have to be those that are willing to learn and be strengthened, not just for ourselves, but to also be used to help set other people free. Yes, let me give you another illustration that I'm not going to have you turn ahead to. In Joshua 6, a few weeks ago, I shared how the Lord gave this revelation to me that there were many multitudes of soldiers that were armed themselves, doing what they need to do, and they were going before the Ark of the Covenant. In other words, in the Old Covenant, the Ark was the presence of the Lord, the goosebump, all the victory, all the miracles. Those that didn't exist on that but just went to be a blessing to set the captives free went before the Ark. And we know the story of Jericho, 6 days going around, couldn't say anything. But what I love about it, when that seventh day and they shouted, and the armed and ready shouted the walls down, it says it wasn't just to go in and get the spoil for the armed and ready, but there was a whole host of just soldiers, the gathering host, that also got to go in and occupy. So it's not an elitist group because we're not more important than those that just are happy to be soldiers. But I believe God is raising up. And when we see the Ezekiel and we're prophesying to those bones that are dry, we're not talking about the world. We know they're dry. We're talking about a lot of believers that were dry, that Ezekiel, a priest, and we're all priests, prophesied and told those bones to come together. And when they came upon their feet, as you read through Ezekiel 37, they became a mighty army. And then he goes on in the 14th verse, and I think I put that in your notes. He says, and in each of you, I am going to give you my spirit, or I am going to be with you, never to leave you. Now, everybody look at me. What happens when we get saved? Who do we get? The Holy Ghost. And what does the Holy Ghost promise us? That he'll never what? Leave us nor forsake us. So every soldier has everything they need to become a warrior. But the Holy Ghost doesn't force anybody into equipping themselves and being a warrior. Being a warrior don't get you to heaven. Being a soldier gets you to heaven. But the next advanced training is you help others get there too. So, that's why we believe that the body of Christ is needed throughout the area. There are going to be people that are going to be happy to stay in a traditional setting all the days of their life. They have given their hearts to the Lord, and that's content. And we're not going to judge, or we're not going to say they're less, but I'm telling you, God is raising up some soldiers that want to get equipped and want to war. Now, a warrior is not only someone that gets the training, but they're experienced in battle. And so, any of you had a few battles lately? Sometimes you feel guilty because you think we're praying for you too much, but you need to realize many are the afflictions of righteous men and women, and the Lord delivers us out of them all. But if you've had a life, a piece of cake, you're probably not identified too much by darkness. But if you've gone through hell and you felt like giving up many times, and you felt like this, what is happening to me? Why is this what I'm going through? Relax, you're in good company because there are others that are being trained up as warriors to go through the fire to come out in victory to set other people free. And let me tell you this. You got everything that pertained to life and godliness at salvation. By grace you were saved, and grace brought the kingdom, and the kingdom came with the Holy Ghost. But you cannot receive the bounty if you don't activate what the Lord has given you freely. So our process is to realize it's not hocus pocus, we're saved, and everything that's in the Bible falls on us. No, when you give your life to Jesus, everything in here comes inside you. But inside you isn't the benefits other than to go to heaven. Inside you gives you the shelving of key elements to live in victory, to set people free, and to fight the good fight of faith. So we look at the story of Joshua, because I got you in Joshua. Joshua and Caleb were known of two of the 12 that took what the Lord did and trained themselves up, equipped themselves, and would not compromise like the other 10 that said, "Oh, Lord, I know you said this Canaan land is filled with milk and honey, but there's giants and we're like grasshoppers," on and on. Caleb and Joshua says, "Let's go in and get it. God says it's ours, let's go get it." I'm telling you, I don't care what pandemic we're going through or how many dams are breaking or how many houses are flooded. I'm telling you what, God never leaves us nor forsake us, and he's raising up a regiment of men and women to go headlong into the storms to set the captives free, to rescue those that want to be rescued. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of Christians that are just happy to just hide away. Now, be honest with me, church. That's not you. But we're looking at all the riots and we're looking at all this. It's pretty easy for us to say, "Oh, we live way out in the country. We have a nice little peaceful town. We don't have to worry about that." I'm not saying you got to worry, but it's not just about your comforts. It's about you fighting the good fight. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight. Lay hold of your eternal life. And then begin to confess a good confession with others. And then later in Timothy, Paul says, "I fought the good fight. I finished the race." So there's something about fighting that's good. And you're going to realize our fight looks different than a natural fight. And that's where we're going. Joshua chapter 1, one of those that chose to be trained up and listen. I'm telling you, it's pertinent to us today. This is not outdated, this scripture. And I'm going to start in verse 5. "No man or woman shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." And he's talking about the enemy. Do you believe that? Yeah. "As I was with Moses, I will be with you." Why? Because he's no respecter of persons. "I will not leave you nor forsake you." Ah, sounds like that's what we got when who came to live in us? The Holy Ghost. Verse 5, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people," that's you guys, "you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them." God has promised to give us the land. Wherever you live, that's your land, and you can occupy it, you can rule and reign in it, and you can help others get free in their land. 7, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all that's in the law." Now, you might see the law, but it's still the Word of God. All that's in the Word of God, observe. Now, Pastor Mike, I believe it was even last week, had challenged you, are you in the Word? You cannot know what your armor is or your tools if you're waiting to come on Sunday and let Pastor give you a little nugget here and there. We are not your source. Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, is your training equipping. If you really want to gain ground, you have got to be a student of the Word. Study to show yourself approved under God. Workmen and women that know how to rightly divide this. Joshua studied and he focused on it. Verse 8 says, "This book, this word of God shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it." You know, in Hebrew, another rendering of meditate, mutter it. You should be speaking it day and night. Now look at me. If you don't know the Word of God, how can you speak it day and night? How can you bind the God of this world? How can you take authority over COVID-19? How can you call your house to sell? If you don't know, God says you can call the things that be not as though they are. And He sent His Word and He healed you. And He's given you peace that passes understanding. Not because of me, it's because He has promised that and I know it. Because I study it and I speak it day and night. And it's not just about me and PK living happily ever after. No, I am here for whatever season to help set people free. And those are called warriors. Not just content getting to heaven, but want to take all their family and want to take their friends and their loved ones. But I'm telling you, you have to choose. Now look, this word shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. To observe, to do according to what's written in it. If you're not reading it, how do you know what's written in it? For then, listen, for then, because you're reading it, meditating, then you are going to make your way prosperous and you're going to have good success. Look at me, church. God's already given us everything. Whether you're successful and prosperous is up to us. We've been saved by grace through faith, not works. No man can boast. But we've been created in Christ Jesus for good works. Good works produce good works. The Word of God produces the fruit of the Word of God. We have everything to do, and whether or not we're living successfully here on earth and that we're growing and going from glory to glory, because He loves us all the same, He's given us all equal ground. But Pastor Weldon is not going to be the one that studies for you. I'm studying for me and then to give you a word, but I've got to stimulate you to be students of the Word. Ever filled. The Bible says we're to be ever filled with the Holy Ghost. Ever filled. The Holy Ghost is in us, but we get ever filled by speaking the Word of God and declaring, muttering it day and night, because we cause ourselves to succeed. I'm telling you, church, if the only time you get together is to pray because you've got something to deal with yourself, you're missing it. God doesn't say you don't pray for yourself, but the emphasis should be praying for others. Lord God, I thank you. You have promised me like you promised the jailer. As far as me and my household, we shall serve the Lord, but we shall all be saved. How can Jesus say that? He can't violate someone's will because He said in the Word that you can ask anything according to His will, and His will is His Word, and His Word is that nobody perish, and that we have the guarantee if He did it for the jailer on his household, He can do it for your household. So if you want to see your kids catch fire, you want to see your grandkids catch fire, you want to see your moms and dads catch fire, or you want to see your grandparents catch fire, then you've got to mutter the Word day and night and not just think of yourself. Help free your captive brothers and sisters and all those that are entrenched and sure they're saved. You want them just getting to heaven? Gosh, the reason why I'm not going to get up here and practice rapture jumps, because my home is in heaven. But whatever hell I got to go through on here, He's not going to leave me, and I'm going to war for others to get there with me. Because when we get there, we're going to laugh about these times and the exciting. Oh my gosh, remember when we went through this? Dave Curry or Jim or Pat, remember this thing? We prayed and we got the victory through. Yeah, and we're free. Forever. Together, we'll laugh about these moments. Verse 9 says, have I not told you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When you came to church today, He's with you. When you go home, He's with you. When you're in the city streets, He's with you. He never will leave us. And if we are the light, and if this glory, darkness is on the earth, gross darkness on people, but that glory is on us and they're going to run to us. We better know what's already in us. Because to give Him a word or somebody a word in season, we have to know the Word. Right. Amen? Amen? That's why it's a constant thing. Sometimes oldies but goldies have been in church life forever, stop growing. They think, well, I put in my time. It's not putting in your time. You do whatever you got to do until he graduates us to glory. And I've never in all my life of serving the Lord never had such opportunities to be victorious for him. I've never been challenged with so many challenges. Pastor Mike knows every day as we pray, every day at 12 to 1, and you guys go up there, we could spend almost a whole hour on just one family. There are so many things happening. But it's worth it to keep you lifted up, to say, God, use them in their communities as like evangelists. And don't buy. And don't meditate and mutter fake news.
Right.
True news.
Yeah. Amen.
Never leave us nor forsake us.
Amen.
No matter what the weaponry is, no matter what it looks like out there, we walk not by sight but by faith. Because faith is based on believing, as Rosie taught us in communion. And believing is what we know to be true. And we know what's to be true because we're in here learning what we need to keep our weapon fully armored. Amen? So, we look at this. In my era, which was the Vietnam era, you could sign up for different branches of service. My dad wanted me not in Nam, but he wanted me in the service, so he talked me into signing up for the guard. But I was in with those that literally were drafted. Most of them were drafted in basic training. And even though we're all drafted when we become saved, there are a whole lot of conscientious objectors in the spiritual body of Christ. You want a conscientious objector? Let me tell you about the one I had in mind. Got drafted. He was Army because he couldn't refuse it. He refused to carry a weapon of M16, so they gave him a broomstick. How much effect do you think in Nam was he going to have with that broomstick? Not much, right? Now, they could not force him to be trained up when we went to the range to learn how to operate our M16s. He went and they made him polish his broomstick, made him pretend like he was shooting with that broomstick. They were humiliating. I understand that. But what I'm telling you, in the body of Christ, we have been given ammunition. And there are those that just refuse, I don't want to study the word. I don't want to learn it. I want to continuously be complaining. And I'm not talking to you all because you've been here long enough that most of you understand that we're going to love you if all you do is complain. But I'm telling you, God is raising up a faction of believers that don't want to just get to heaven,
right. But
want to attack the enemy.
Yes, sir.
2 Corinthians 10:3-6 says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now listen, church, God's not pulling those strongholds down for us. He created us to rule and to reign on earth.
Yeah.
Remember when he said, pray that a kingdom come as will be done on earth as it is in heaven? That happened on the day of Pentecost.
Right.
Kingdom of God is already here. And
we're
supposed to be ruling and reigning. And that's why we've got a manual that tells us there's principalities and powers of darkness that don't like you. They may operate in people, there's no doubt. When I look at what's hitting the news, we can get caught up on some bad cop or some bad military person, but there's a whole lot of good, sacrificial men and women that give their life to protect others at the cost of many times their own lives. Christians, if you equip yourself, you're going to be under attack. The enemy and the principalities and powers of darkness do not like you. But when you stand up for what is right, when you take a stand and you don't buy fake news, someone wanted to know, who do you vote for and what do you do on all this? I said, I'm not going to get political, but I'll tell you one thing for sure. I will never cast a vote for anyone that says Planned Parenthood and the exiting of babies in the womb are good. Anyone, Democrat, Republican, if they are for killing babies in the womb, that is not the word of God. We are a defender of those innocent lives in the womb. And you have to draw a line. And get off whatever you were raised up. If you're taking a line, there's got to be some absolutes. And we absolutely fight. I've had people say, well, they're never going to overturn Roe versus Wade. They may not, but the Holy God that's using the corporate anointing that's on the body of Christ can do all things. And we come together. He stands over His Word ready to perform it. It's not something to take lightly. Don't get caught up in the noise. The noise will get you and they'll share all kinds of nonsense. Focus on the fruit. What is happening? And then have the guts to not worry about it. People get mad at you. We're standing up for what's right. All of us were sinners. We've all in this room going to believe you made Jesus Christ your Lord. You got forgiven of all your sins, past, present, and future. But we can still do stupid things. And this is why we've got to learn so we don't reap stupid things. Because we reap whatever we sow. You want to keep sowing to the flesh? Someone one time says, Pastor, you're not against people drinking. I says, no, I'm not against it. It's not going to keep you out of heaven. Well, why don't you? Because I don't believe that's good fruit for me. I want to be the best example I can be for others. And I don't have any trouble getting high in Jesus. I get a buzz on every time. Every day I get up, I get a buzz on. My wife will tell. She'll tell people, this guy never gets down. It's because I've learned my tools and I operate my tools every day of my life. And I've learned how the tough things, you joke and you laugh through them, but you don't let them take you out because your peace and your joy are kingdom principles that nobody can take unless you give them up. And I choose every day, no one's stealing my peace or stealing my joy. I don't care what they say to me. I'm going to walk in forgiveness and go on. Because there's a whole group of troopers God's raising up to be reproduced to do the same. And so, bring in every thought captive. That's what 2 Corinthians 10 says. Every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This is the living word, Christ. How do you bring things captive if you don't know it? See, I'm telling you that we got to be armed and ready, but you can't arm yourself if you don't know what's already yours. You're not deficient in anything spiritually. You just are deficient physically because you haven't implemented what you've been freely given spiritually. Spiritual overrides physical, and that's how we can stand and believe God for the miracles because we're doing what we know naturally, but He is supernatural, and He's calling us to be supernatural. So, you're still here. You're still listening. It's because God's called you to be a warrior. Get trained up. Be a student of the Word. Study the Word. Get it in your heart. Meditate on it day and night so you know what yours is. It's not a bondage. Oh, now I'm in bondage. I got to read the Word 3 or 4 hours. No. I'm just saying it should be in your heart. It should be a part of your life. This conscientious objector in the military finally broke, and then he did get trained up because he couldn't take it anymore. I don't know if that works that way in the spiritual realm, that we don't try to break people of their stupidity. We try to share the things, and hopefully you've heard that I'd rather see a Christian than hear one. Hopefully because our actions that speak louder than our words, they will want what we got because we're a movie screen and they're watching. Why is this group always fighting for others? Why is this group always at peace? Why even when the storms and everything comes? I'm walking out. I didn't get the flood, but I walked out. My wife can tell me it took me days, all the branches and trees in my yard and throughout. I just smile and says, thank you, Lord, yes. Thank you for my health. I'll clear all that out at my own pace. Amen? So He's equipped us, and He's told us this. This is my role to you all. This is my mantle to Pastor Mike, who I consider a son. And I consider many of you my sons and daughters. But this is where I want you to look at it. And I'm going to wrap up in something I believe is key. And it's two scriptures we're going to go to. Let's start with Ephesians chapter 6. And then we're going to do 2 Timothy. But Ephesians chapter 6 says this. I'm looking at verse 10. Mine has a caption, the whole armor of God. And this is what the word says to all of us. This isn't for a select few. This is for whoever wants to be trained. Finally, believers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We got that right out of Joshua. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. A lot of folks don't even know there is an armor of God that they have to put on. Now, notice he didn't say, I'm going to put it on for you. And you just get it freely. You got it freely, but he's not going to put it on. It's like you got it in a gift bag and you haven't opened your bag yet. And put on the parts is going to help you fight the wiles of the devil. Now, there in James, when he says the devil is like a roaring lion roaming about, seeking whom he may devour, and you've heard teachings, oh, he's toothless. He can't hurt the body. All of you that are going through hell, have you been hurt? He's got some pretty sharp teeth, doesn't he? But he goes on and James says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and what happens? He's got to flee. He got to implement the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand against the devil. Remember, we don't wrestle flesh and blood. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Look at me. Heaven number one is heaven on earth. Heaven number two is where the demons and the devils. Third heaven, they have no say. That's the throne. That's where we're going to spend eternity, okay? Even though he's going to create heaven on earth, just trust me. The heavenlies that he's talking about, where the demons and devils, is in the seconds. It's where Daniel's prayer got resisted because they kept stopping it. And the Lord said, I heard it 21 days before, but it took that long for you to break through. There are times we got to break through. Amen? Right. Therefore, take the whole armor of God that you're able to withstand an evil day, having done all you stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. What is the truth, church? The Word of God. How can you gird truth if you don't spend any time in the Word? You gotta know the truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know when that went on us? When you made Jesus your Lord. That is an automatic protect your heart. Breastplate of righteousness. You don't have to work on that. You got it. Your righteousness was as what? Filthy rags. His righteousness is what you got when you got saved. It says, put and shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Gospel, good news of peace. How do we know what the good news of peace is if we're not in the good news? So why I can walk around and have peace no matter what the storms are is because I know what the gospel is, and that's what's walking me in my challenged feet. The gospel of peace. It passes this understanding. And because you all are here today at Shield of Faith, and then it says, and above all this, take the shield of faith, which will quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. Look at me, church. That shield of faith covers us. It's not behind us because we don't need it. Remember, we're running to set people free. We're not going to let anybody get behind us because we're running. But it quenches every fiery dart. Do you know what fiery darts are? James 3 says our words are like fiery missiles. They can kill people. Anyone that says sticks and stones will break your bones, but words can't hurt you is lying to you. Words can kill you. People have been in bondage all their life because their dads or their moms told them they're useless. They're never going to amount to anything. It has hurt them. It's up here. They don't ever think they're going to. They're feeling all kinds of damage. Shield of faith. We know the word, and we shield it. It gets quenched so it doesn't penetrate our armor. So faith is just believing. You got to know what you believe and why you believe it. Gosh. Don't go there. All right. Take the helmet of salvation. Everybody look. Helmet of salvation. You put that on when you get saved, but your job is not done. What is Paul and others in the epistles tell us to get our what renewed? Our mind renewed, because you got to change your stinking thinking. You got the helmet of salvation. Salvation is not just going to heaven. Salvation means deliverance. To be totally delivered, you need to know what is yours, and you only know that by getting this renewed. So if you've been told you're worthless, you're never going to amount to anything, somewhere you got to get in there and says, my Lord loves me, and he'll never leave me, and I am preciously made in his sight, and he created me and formed me in my mother's womb. He knew me even before he created. And he tells me I'm his beloved. You hear it and hear it. Faith comes good or bad. The more you hear it, the more you hear it. The more you hear, you're good, you're mounted, you're a warrior, a mighty man of God. That's why I call you guys mighty men of God. Because even if you don't see yourself as a mighty man of God, if you hear it enough, you'll become it. If you hear yourself that you're a mighty woman of God enough, you'll become it. Doesn't matter what it looks like right now. I'm believing for the end product, and the end product is a glorified church without spot or wrinkle. And we meditate, mutter this day and night. We change our environments. And you're responsible for that. And if that's a heavy, I'm sorry. That's the role we have. Train up your children in the way they should go. And that means spiritual children too. And the sword of the Spirit. Here we go again. Which is the what? How do you know what to fight with if you don't know what you got to fight with? Our offensive weapon in here is twofold. One, it's the sword, which is the Word of God. And just as powerful is why they wrap this up in verse 18. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And I like what my commentary in the New King James says. Every form of prayer is significantly important, and Paul clearly shows that such praying should include praying in tongues. Don't let people talk you out of the significance of praying in your prayer language. Some of you that are around me, I may pray more than y'all, but I'm telling you what, it refuels me. Coming in today, my wife, when we're in the country riding a bike, animals darting, and she'll say, "Kala," and I'll go, "Kala," and the animal inevitably gets to the front of the tire and jarts back into the. You can say, "Well, that would have happened." No, there is something significant, because you don't know how to pray as you ought, but the Holy Ghost does. So your offensive armor is the Word of God, and is praying to the Lord and praying against the forces of darkness. That's equipping, but you got to know what's yours.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, folks, when you're in the lake swimming and someone looks down there and tells you there's no water in the lake, it's too late. My wife will tell you what has transpired, because she knew me before. She knows me as a man of God that prays all the time in the Holy Spirit. Cars I sell, things break through. Crops come forth. I'm telling you, you need to realize you've got the Word of God and you got your prayer language to set the enemy at bay. And you need to be enforced, because this is my role to you all. Go with me as I finish in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. I'm going to close with these four verses. This is what Paul told Timothy. This is what I tell you. This is what I encourage you. This is one of our foundational scriptures that Shield of Faith was built on. But I want you to see this afresh if you've grown weary in well-doing. You, therefore, my sons and daughters, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And the things that you've heard from me, Paul, among many witnesses, commit these words to faithful men and women who will be able to teach and help others. My role is to lay it out and try to get you to be as faithful as possible and to continuously look that you need to help train up others. Verse 3, you, That's you means me. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Pat, you got to endure. Rosie, you got to endure as a good soldier. You're doing that. But there's going to be like all hell is breaking loose. You got to endure as a good soldier, because a good soldier realizes it's not just getting to heaven. I'm going to war and run to the enemy and take him out, because God says that he's given me all authority over all the earth. Yes. And once we understand that, we begin to take that authority. You endure hardship as a good soldier, not any longer just a soldier. A good soldier, I'm going to say, is a warrior of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, no one engaged in warfare. Is this a warfare we're going through right here in America even? Yes, sir. You just go in missionary fields and think, wow, gosh, they got a lot of warfare here. Now it's come to America. Not that it hasn't been, but it's been intensified. No one, man, woman, engaged in warfare is going to choose to entangle themselves in the affairs of this life. It doesn't mean you remove yourself from this life. It means you don't let the life on earth and all the situations and all the fake news and all the things that are trying to get you fearful and beat down and thinking there's no hope, you turn it off. I'm not caring about that. I'm focusing on the Word of God. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. And there is no weapon formed against you that can prosper. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what tests show. I don't care what. The results is you're on the winning team, and God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but be strong and courageous. Amen. And fight the good fight. And have the backbone to stand up for what's right. And this is what's right. Yes, sir. Let's stand to our feet. Warriors of God, and those that are in the viewing audience or listening audience, stand to your feet. We're prophesying this day. Next week, I'm going to share with you. You don't want to miss. I'm going to share with you how this nation was founded. And as bad as things look, I'm telling you, you need to know the core, the heart of how God raised up this nation for this time in history. And you are not an accident. You are mighty men and women of valor. And you're not just placed in your communities or in your cities to vegetate and just get to heaven. He wants you to equip and become that courageous man or woman of God that knows who they are and knows what's in them and knows the tools and will begin to use that sword of the Spirit and cut the head off some devils and set some families free. And Father God, right now, I loose the prophetic word of God over this congregation and those that are listening, that you have raised us up for this season and time and in history, and you have equipped us with everything that pertains to life and godliness, and you are giving us a vision, and you're giving a mission to go forth and to set our communities free, to set our nation free, and to raise up the body of Christ. And I prophesy that this is the year, the greatest year ever in the heartbeat of the body of Christ. And Lord, you're going to use the body in a powerful way to set it in right fashion. And we declare, Lord God, that there's a shield of faith that surrounds every believer, every warrior, that will quench every attack of the enemy. And I thank you that within your mechanism, within you, you have everything to set the captives free. I prophesy as you lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover. I prophesy when you cast out devils in your region, they're going to flee. I prophesy supernatural miracle working of miracles are going to break forth from this body and from those that are listening and seeing today, for you are a mighty man and woman of God. And all of us in agreement said, amen. Let's go give it to him. In Jesus' name.